Matthew chapter 6. Part 7 on this matter of prayer, and the last part of the section known as the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. And it'll begin in verse 9. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we've looked at from verse 9, number 1, we must personally know God as our Father if we are to get our prayers answered. Where to pray our Father, which art in heaven. Number 2, we saw that we need to truly fear and revere God. Verse 9 says, Hallowed be thy name. Number 3, we saw we need to truly desire that God would reign not only in the future, but also now. In verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Number 4, we saw that we need to truly trust God for our daily food. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Number 5, we saw we need to truly forgive others. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Number 6, we saw we need to truly desire to live holy lives. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And point number 7 really is a combination of the first 2 points. But this is a new one for tonight. Point 7, we need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. I'll say that again. We need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. And it's that last half of verse 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as I mentioned, this is really a combination of 2 of the previous points, but the Lord seems to be emphasizing again. You know, with all that's happening in the world, there's a lot of people that are talking about the Lord's return. And that's a good thing to be thinking upon the Lord's return. But how should that affect? Remember, the title of this section is We Need to Live in the Present According to the Facts of the Future. And then it said, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So if we're thinking about the kingdom of God, how should it affect the way that we're living right now? Well, if you hold your place here, let's turn to Titus 2. Titus chapter 2. When I met Sandy, her pastor, his name was Pastor Peel, and he used to like to say a saying, the world... He would say this. He said, the world looks at us as we're looking for pie in the sky by and by. I don't know how many times he said that. The world is looking at us as if we're looking for pie in the sky by and by. I wouldn't mind if there was pie in heaven, would you? But anyway, he was just saying that the world kind of looks at us like, yeah, you know, you're looking at something that isn't going to happen, but How should it affect us with his return? Well, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, what? Soberly. righteously and what? Godly. Where or when? In this present world. So remember, our point is we need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. He told us to pray, for thine is the kingdom. Are we living in the present according to the facts of the future? In other words, we don't have to wait till the millennium. And of course, as Christians, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be with the Lord for those 7 years during the tribulation period down here. And then we're coming back with the Lord to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. But we don't have to wait until the rapture to see the King or allow Him to really reign. We don't have to wait till the millennium to see Him reign. We can let Him right now. God wants us to deny ungodliness. He wants us to deny worldly lust. He wants us to live soberly. He wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live godly. When? In this present world. So when we think about it at this point, we need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. We don't have to wait for Christ to rule and reign. He wants to right now in our lives in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. What is it? And the what? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So the blessed hope for us as Christians is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And here it goes back into it again. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a what? A peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. So, Matthew 6:13, for thine is the kingdom. That's a fact. So, but are we living in the present according to the facts of the future? Because He told us to pray, thine is the kingdom. Are we living that way? There's all kinds of people that are saying, I just can't wait till the Lord returns. And I'm hearing it more and more and more. I just can't wait till Jesus returns. And it seems like it's so close. But sometimes it doesn't seem like it's really affecting the way people are living right now. And it should affect right now, the here and now. So let's go back to Matthew 6:13. So once again, that last half of the verse, it says, for thine is the kingdom. So there's the question for us. Is He really ruling and reigning right now? Thine is the kingdom and the what? The power. So are we really depending upon Him right now? Or do I say, well, I know how to do this. I don't need to ask. I don't need to pray. I don't need to bother God with that. Is it a bother to God when we ask for help? No, it's not. He wants us to. Hold your place here if you would. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. God wants us with the simplest things. God wants us to ask Him. In Philippians 4, in verse 6. Be careful for what?
Nothing.
Nothing, but in what?
Everything
by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. And that hits us this week, especially. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God wants us. He wants us to come to Him. And this might be almost wore out in your Bible, but let's go back to Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Because when I think of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it's hard for me not to think about Proverbs chapter 3. I was witnessing to a man in Walmart. Yeah, he was one of the greeters there. And so I began to talk to him. He ended up asking me, he says, what's your favorite verse? And so it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to pick one favorite verse, but what the Lord just brought to my mind, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In what? All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I don't know about you, but I find myself just in the most simple things. I can get frustrated if I don't practice this. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm headed for town. I'm trying to get out on M57. Lord, help me. That is a chore. Yeah, it is getting so busy, it seems like. It is really tough to get out on that road. But I don't complain. I thought, it's just a reminder, Lord, I need your help in what may seem the smallest of matters, just trying to get to town. I need your help. Notice with me in Luke chapter 17. So, back to our point, we need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. For thine is the kingdom and the power. You know, one day we're going to see the Lord in all of His power and glory. But we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to see His power. We need to live now that way. Luke 17:20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh what? Not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So it goes back to our point. We need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. God is telling us, listen, you don't have to wait to observe when the kingdom of God comes. It's within you. In other words, God wants to rule and reign right now. God wants to show us His power right now. So we need to pray and ask for His help and His guidance. Notice in Matthew 6. It'll be wonderful to see the Lord Jesus face to face. And yet, we don't have to wait until that day to see Him reigning. Matthew 6:24. The Bible says no man can serve what? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So one day we'll be in His kingdom. And what does a king do? A king reigns. A king reigns. It seems like today, I don't know, just the atmosphere, it seems like the Christian life to many is like the speed limit. It's like, what can I get away with? And if you ask the average person about the speed limit, they say, well, I know it says, well, in our minds, what we're reading at really is the minimum. 57. The minimum is 55. We've just got that programmed into our minds, you know. And if someone is doing less than 55, what do we say? Or what do we think? Get off the road, you know. Go the speed limit or get off the road. Well, that's the speed limit, not the speed minimum. They've got the right. But they sure get a lot of people mad at them. I know, just set your cruise on the speed limit and see what happens. People aren't too happy. But I'm afraid sometimes we look at the Christian life that way. It's like, well, I know God says this. But we're looking at it like, I can go 5 over. Or I can go 10 over. And he's not going to chase me. He's not going to get mad at me, you know, it's just a little. I'm afraid sometimes that's the way we look at it, but when we get to heaven, is there going to be any going 5 over, spiritually speaking? No. In heaven, it's going to be His will. And thankfully, then we won't have this rebellious sin nature. And we will want to do. You know, that's, have you ever stopped and thought about that? God has created us as creatures with a free will. But in heaven, everyone there is going to want to do His perfect will all the time. But isn't that what He wants right now? It goes back to our point. We need to live in the present like the facts of the future. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So where is our heart? Where is our heart right now? This week had somebody that got on the website and he looked at a question about tattoos and he was kind of complaining about it. And let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And this, you know, do we even think about what we're saying? Oh, I can't wait for the Lord to come back. But when the Lord comes back, His will is going to be done. I mean, when we are with Him in heaven, we're going to be doing His will, not our own will. In Leviticus 19:28, the Bible says, "Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." And this man, like so many, read this verse and complain about it. And they say, well, that means you can't put any marks on you for the dead. But let's read it again. Does it say this? Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh or print any marks upon you for the dead. I am the Lord. What did I do? I'll read it again. Does it say this? Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. What did I do? You see, what people do is they put print any marks upon you in the previous phrase. It says that what it says is ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Lord. He did not include the print any marks upon you for the dead. It was cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. He said, he didn't put that stipulation on just printing any marks upon you. He said, nor print any marks upon you. But people try to add it. I'll never forget, over by the high school one time many years ago, someone, a professing Christian, was trying to debate this verse and saying, God doesn't forbid tattoos. He just forbids tattoos that are for the dead. And so this guy was showing us his tattoos on wherever he had them. And then after arguing this point, well, it's not wrong to have a tattoo. It's just if you tattoo yourself for the dead. After all of that, he shows us on an ankle and he lifts it up in memory of so-and-so and their date when they lived and died. What did he have? He had a tattoo upon himself for the dead. And that was the very thing he was arguing, that was the only time it would be wrong. And I'm thinking, wow. You know, God is our creator. And notice in 1 Corinthians 6. God is our creator. And He has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. And that's what puzzles me about, there's so many people saying, I just can't wait for the Lord to return. And there are many truly sincere people that really mean that and are living for God. But on the other hand, there's many more that say that are not living for God. But in 1 Corinthians 6:19, speaking to Christians here, what know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are what?
Not your own.
Not your own. What would happen if I went out to your car just now and Well, this is deer season. So if I went out to your car tonight and I had a can of brown paint and a light, maybe a can of ivory paint, and I painted a big buck right on the side of your vehicle, how many would like that? Well, probably no one in here would be able to recognize it as a deer, first of all. It'd probably look like a dog or a horse or anything but a deer, is probably. But maybe the antlers would give it away, and maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But why can't I do that? Because that vehicle is what? It's yours. It's not mine. Well, what does the Bible say here? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. This is not my body. Verse 20, for you're bought with what?
A price.
Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, this arguing about tattoos, why can't we just do what God asks without having to try to argue about it? Why can't we just please Him unquestionably? Notice in John 14, you know, all of these people that are professing Christians arguing about that it's okay to have tattoos, all of them would say they love God. All of them. But John 14:15, it says, if ye love me, what? Keep my commandments. If I love God, then why would I argue to permanently mark my body when God says He doesn't want me to cut my body for the dead? And that's what the heathen did. You know, they are trying to associate themselves with the pain of their departed loved one. And, you know, when you think of death, you think of pain. You think of suffering. And so they would try to make themselves suffer by cutting themselves. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to print any marks upon us. Then how can I say I love God and argue to do something His word forbids? Well, so this guy just had to throw in something else, and he did. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. And verse 11. You know, the Old Testament was written for our learning. Our learning. Now, a lot of Christians look at the Old Testament as something totally archaic. You know, totally in the past and of basically no value. But that's not true. As I said, Romans 15:4, the Old Testament is written for our learning, so it's profitable for us as Christians. But notice with me in Deuteronomy 22:11. It says, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. So this guy asked me, he says, by the way, do you wear any clothes that with a blend of wool and linen? Well, linen is made out of flax. I don't know that I don't know. I'd have to ask my wife if I have any clothes with that type of linen. I mean, I have clothes that are cotton and polyester blend. But I said to this guy, I said, you know, that's funny you should ask about that. Because I said, you know, in the last few weeks, I've been pondering this and another one I'll tell you about. But, you know, when God says something, some people just scoff at it. Like, you know, when God said to circumcise your sons on the eighth day, a lot of people just looked at that like, that's just religious ritual and it's not important at all. But you notice even in Jesus' day, He pins them down in this and said, you know, you're criticizing me for healing on the Sabbath day, but you still circumcise your children on the eighth day, even if it lands on the Sabbath, which you would say would be desecrating the Sabbath. But we've, not me personally, but others have learned that there's a certain ingredient in our blood, or is it vitamin K? K. Okay. Is that the highest level right then, and is good for blood clotting, right? Okay. So that when God told them to circumcise, wait till the eighth day to circumcise their baby boys, number one, it was the right thing to do because he said do it. But number two, it was the right thing to do because there was a good reason behind what he said. And you know what? Everything God says, there's a good reason behind it. Why do we think we're so smart? It's smarter than God. So there was a good reason. So with this man here, I said, you know, it's funny you should throw that at me, because in the last few weeks I've been thinking about, I wish I could get a college. I don't know, Brother Bob, if Frostburg would get into this or not, but I wish there was a college, and I've thought about this before, putting it to, could you do this weave of fabric, this blend of wool and linen, and put it on someone and do extensive testing, like brain waves? Does it affect anything about our brain waves, like static electricity? Does it affect anything? Do clinical trials and test with this blend. How about allergic reactions? Try to do extensive testing. You know what? I have no doubt there is a very good physical reason why God said this. He may have been illustrating a spiritual truth through it. But just like with circumcising your baby boys on the eighth day, he had a good reason for it. And I have no doubt that there is a good reason why he put this in there. Even though not only the world would scoff at this, but there's a lot of Christians that scoff at it. I have no doubt if we were smart enough, we could figure out there's a good reason for that. So, let's see, there's something else here. In Isaiah 7, I said, and by the way, there's something else. I says, I wish I could get someone to do clinical trials on this, because I have no doubt of what the result is, but to see if they could figure out why the good result. In Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then what does verse 15 say? Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know what? To refuse the evil and what? Choose the good. This is referring to Jesus. This is referring to the Messiah. Verse 14 is very clear about that. And verse 15 says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. I wish someone would do some clinical trials on this, giving like children butter and honey in the morning and doing extensive testing. Okay. You know, doing a period of time, having them eat whatever. But with butter and honey, and they would have to figure out, obviously, they'd have to test different amounts. The Bible warns us against eating too much honey. It makes a person sick. So it wouldn't be gorging themselves. But I'd really like to see them do a test on just young children and just different age groups and see how their test scores are. If they could do, once again, brainwave activity. Okay, I eat butter and honey this morning, what's my brainwave activity versus eating cocoa wheats or something else, you know? And then do like, I'd love to see this one, on the elderly, on Alzheimer's patients, and just to see if there would be any impact, butter and honey. It says, Butter, let's see here, verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. There has to be something about that combination that helps our mind. There has to be. And I would just like to see what man could find out about that. Just like circumcised on this day. Oh, that's just meaningless religious ritual. No, it isn't. There's some facts there that man finally figured out. If we could find, if we could figure it out, what butter and honey does to our minds, somehow to our body, to help our thinking. If prophesied of this of Jesus, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. So. So, you know, they can throw that at me about this blend of wool and linen, and I've never had anyone throw this at me, but this is just one other thing. I just wish I could get some college class or some group of doctors doing clinical studies to actually test these things. And I have no doubt that at the end of their testing, if it was thorough, that the wisdom of God would be seen and people wouldn't be scoffing at his word. So back to our point, though, number seven, we need to live in the present according to the facts of the future. So one last part there in Matthew 6:13. It says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the what? The glory forever." You know, it's really foolish to live for our glory on earth, isn't it? I mean, look at Hollywood and sports figures. I mean, they're living for their own glory. Are they happy? Most of them, no. No, their lives are miserable. Many of them, their lives end early. Why is it? Why is it that we can't wait to be with the Lord to see His glory when right now we have the chance to show people His glory, don't we? Look at Matthew 5. We don't have to wait on that. Matthew 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Let your light," what? "So shine before men that they may see your good works and," what? "Glorify your Father," which is, what? "In heaven." We don't have to wait for the Lord to come back to glorify Him. We can do it right now. He said we can do it right now. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." I want to see His glory now, don't you? I want to see His glory now. I don't want to wait. And He tells us right now how to see His glory. "Let our light so shine," and then give the glory to Him. Joseph did. Joseph let Pharaoh know, "It's not in me. It's not in me to interpret your dream, but there's a God in heaven." And in the end, Pharaoh remembered what he said. And the same with Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar remembered what he said. Daniel deflected the glory to God. And Nebuchadnezzar remembered. You'd think those two men, Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, would be so excited that they would forget about that phrase that both men put in there. But they both remembered. And so, you know, we know eternity is not about us. It's about God and His glory. So why not see it right now? Why not see it right now? You know, I was in picking up a compactor for Brother Barry, and I got in there and she said, "May I see your driver's license?" So, do you realize you can vote in a lot of places in America without showing your driver's license, but you can't rent a compactor without showing your driver's license? Is there something a little goofy? I think so. But I thought, what a wonderful opportunity. So she took my driver's license. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I couldn't pick up this machine without something in writing showing who I was. And she thought I was going to complain, so she interrupted me. And she said, well, it's just because your son isn't in the computer system yet. And I said, no, I wasn't going to complain. I said, when we get before God, we need something in writing that there's a place reserved for us. And whose name is it? It's Jesus. Let's glorify Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we do look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet when we do see Him, we're just going to be on our face. We fall so far short of Your glory and of Your holiness. But Father, we do look forward to that day when we will no longer have a sin nature. We'll have a new body. We'll have new desires. We'll always do Your will. But Father, we want to see You rule and reign right now in our hearts. We want, Lord, to see Your power working through us right now. Lord, we want to see Your glory right now. You tell us to let our light shine and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So, Father, I pray You help us as we close out these messages on prayer, that truly we would live in the present according to the facts of the future. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.